from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Are the Bears a better team after trading a 6th-rounder to the Seahawks for defensive end Daryl Taylor and a 6th-rounder to the Browns for defensive tackle Chris Williams and a 7th-rounder in return? Can you share who you believe will lead the team in sacks this year, not named Montez Sweat? Are they done acquiring defensive linemen, or could there be another move left?
Oh, there could be another move left. I mean, who knows? It is a difficult. I don't think they're done with anything. I don't expect them to make another move. I don't think they're going to sign Yannick Ngakoue, if that's what the question is. But I do believe that that when you look at Daryl Taylor, he's done pretty well for himself. He's gotten some sacks in the NFL. That is a good quality to have in a defensive lineman. Chris Williams seems like a depth piece to me. Seems like we kind of talked about the idea that outside of Andrew Billings, they didn't seem to have another guy kind of the size of him that could kind of step in. I'm not saying that Williams is that guy, but he's a defensive tackle. So it's more depth at that position, especially with Zach Pickens injured. We'll figure out the extent of that as we move forward. But I think it's going to be kind of pass rusher by committee on the other side. And I'm going to go with Austin Booker flashing enough to be the maybe get 4 or 5 sacks. I would imagine that Daryl Taylor could do that as well. But I would say I'm going to go with Booker picking up some sacks based on that spin move from the preseason game. That was awesome.
I like that idea, but I mean, if it's only 4 or 5, if the second leading sacker on the Bears is 4 or 5, unless there's like 4 guys with 5, it's going to be that'd be disappointing. I don't think that would be getting the job done. Now, based on the fact that they've added depth at that edge rush spot, I'm actually changing my answer. When we talked about this before, it was DeMarcus Walker, because I thought he'd get enough reps, enough tries. But now with this addition, I think his attempts, snaps, goes down. I'm going to say these guys push the quarterback up into the pocket, and I'm going to go with like Javon Dexter with like 8.5 or 9.
Oh, kind of
running,
that's a healthy number,
right? Yeah. That's what I'm going to go, because I think he's going to be in there quite a bit because they do lack some depth. So
yeah,
I'm going Dexter.
That's a good number. That'd be a great season for Javon Dexter if he has 9 sacks. You wonder about Daryl Taylor. This is a good move for the Bears because it gets a guy who was miscast in the scheme. Mike McDonald brings 3-4 scheme to Seattle. He didn't fit any longer, so he comes to the Bears where he can more naturally rush the passer from the edge. You wonder about a guy. He's had 21.5 sacks the last 3 seasons. He topped out at 9.5. This is a good move, and he's a move. This fits age-wise into the window of the other Bears players that they believe might be core pieces. I don't think Dustin, this will affect so much DeMarcus Walker, except for on nickel downs, passing downs, he'll move inside. And DeMarcus Walker will still be on the field when they're in pass rush situations. Be able to maybe use that quickness to get to the quarterback. Maybe that's a better place to start inside for DeMarcus Walker. I think he will be the second highest, given the Bears the second highest sack total. I think Booker is a good one. I think Taylor is a good one. They're going to spread things around. Don't be surprised, and I wouldn't be shocked, if we end up with a guy like Kyler Gordon with seven sacks or six sacks from the secondary, blitzing on those nickel situations. Yeah. If Flusi is as aggressive as he has been in the preseason, and if the Bears have as many leads as we think they might, they could come after the quarterback from the secondary, and you might have a secondary player like Gordon be second in sacks. If Montez Sweat doesn't have double-digit sacks, though, everyone's going to be wondering why.
It's a really good question.
That's the voice of Ross Tucker. He's here at 8 this morning. The Bears began cutting down the roster over the weekend with more moves expected necessary until the Tuesday 3 p.m. deadline. Any moves surprise you so far, and what will be the biggest name on the Bears' cut?
I don't think I've been surprised yet. I don't think that there's been a big name. Maybe mildly the Illinois defensive tackle, the undrafted defensive tackle, Keith Randall, was a guy that they deemed expendable after trading for Chris Williams from the Browns via the Colts, and all that his background with Flusi makes him maybe a more trusted option right now than an undrafted free agent. Maybe Randall can be on the practice squad. There's 16 jobs there. So a lot of these moves that are made, maybe they wanted to give him a chance to survey the league to see if he could fit on another roster. I don't know if there are going to be any big names per se. If you want to call Velus Jones a big name, he's the one most likely to raise an eyebrow. He's the one most likely to create some conversation because he was the first offensive player drafted by Ryan Poles. I think he might make the team. We'll talk about that. I think he's probably a guy that you could understand why they would keep. If you're looking for somebody who would be the biggest name, it might be Brett Rypien because he's a veteran. I don't think he makes the 53, but I think he'll probably try to latch onto the practice squad much in the way that Nathan Peterman did and then be up every Sunday as that emergency third quarterback.
Big name. I think you guys were on to something when you mentioned Larry Borum and the salary. But I guess the question would be, is he injured? So is that you can't cut a guy? You can't cut an injured player. So would he be a guy that you could potentially put on some type of a list? Or would they negotiate something like a medical settlement to get him out the door? But I'm saying from a name standpoint, or a guy on the depth chart that is a snap away from being a big contributor to your team, I think it's Larry Borum. I'm not surprised by any of the moves so far. Obviously, I think it's all about, to me, I have a lot of offensive line questions and who are going to be the depth pieces. And you know, as much as we've, and for good reason, don't get me wrong, as much as we've had plenty to say about Nate Davis, right? So he's finally back out there. David won his coffee bet the other day because Nate Davis didn't take a snap in the preseason game. Thanks a lot, Bears. Appreciate that. But I mean, what's going on with the other guard in the tackle and the center? You know, what is going on with Ryan Bates, and how is that going to play out? Like, I'm just curious, like, how many guys are going to have to keep around because guys are hurt. So I'm curious to see the final numbers on the offensive line. Who are the, I guess, eight guys, right? You probably have to keep eight guys on the offensive line. Who are those eight?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's an interesting question, Dustino. You know, they might have to keep 10. Going into the first cut, this is the problem because of the uncertainty about injuries and who's available and who isn't. You know, they may, because it would appear that Kieran Amagaji is not ready to play, and I don't know if he'll be ready to play to start the season. He's on the roster; they're not going to not cut him, but maybe he's a guy that they don't have active or come back with. You know, to me, the biggest name to be cut would be, and I don't know how big it is, like if it's Velus Jones or Dante Pettis, or as you mentioned, Larry Borum. Those were kind of anybody, I suppose, that came here and played a little bit or had higher expectations. But I don't think I'd be stunned by, you know, any move they might make. You know, I suppose if they cut someone like Noah Sewell, who was a draft pick linebacker, and I'm not saying they're going to, I'm just saying that's a name.
He might have a hard time making the team.
That would kind of surprise me if that happened, just because there are guys that they drafted. But no, I don't think I'd be stifled.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
They're going to make any kind of surprise move like that.
Yeah, I'm not talking necessarily about a pick six or something like that.
That's the voice of Brad Biggs. Biggs time, 7 a.m. What did you make of the Cubs' Sunday falter in Miami?
We had a bad day offensively. I mean, we didn't do much. You know, Aller kind of just beat us a little bit with the fastball. Some, you know, got it by us, or kind of weak balls in the air. You know, we didn't miss out on anything with hard hit balls today. They just kind of beat us with the fastball and just didn't have a good day with an offense at all.
Okay, Craig. Why can't the Cubs sweep the bad teams? Will that change in Pittsburgh? Can you believe that was the 42nd time the Cubs have scored three or fewer runs this season?
Well, that seems like a lot. And it seems like that's the reason. To answer the question, it's found in that question. The very fact that they can't seem to score runs on a regular basis. The fact that they've gone so many games with not scoring enough runs, and I believe they're like 3-39 in those games. I mean, that's insane. You know, you thought they'd have more than that, and it hasn't been the case. And that's the answer to the question. Listen, you know, we know what the back end of the bullpen has looked like and the problems they've had, and frankly, both those things were exercised yesterday. Not only did they not score enough runs, but that game was, 3-1? And all of a sudden, you thought, well, they got three outs left. They just got to get to the ninth inning, and then you give up four runs. And that was just mind-boggling. That was terrible. Julian Merriweather did not have his act together in that game, and that just ended any kind of threat. As it turned out, they wound up scoring a meaningless run in their portion of the ninth. But the answer to the question and the reason is the offense. They have not been able to score runs consistently. And I would imagine that's going to continue for the reason that David mentioned in the first segment. I believe they have Paul Skenes on Wednesday. And I think that momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. As you heard from Craig Counsell there, they just couldn't get their bat on the ball, and they got stymied by a pitcher, and that's kind of the answer to the question.
Well, they especially can't get the bat on the ball, Molly, when there's a runner in scoring position. Just 2-for-12 Sunday afternoon with runners in scoring position. I mean, they make this Aller kid look like Cy Young. I mean, this is a guy that's up and down and been all over the place. He goes 5 2/3 innings. He strikes 6 Cubs out. Walks 2 guys that can't capitalize on the walks. Julian Merriweather, who I thought was going to be like a nice addition, basically you haven't had him all season. He's been awful. He has not been good at all. And it's really, really disappointing to see that. And I want to believe the Cubs are going to win 2 out of 3 coming up against Pittsburgh, but the pitching matchups really don't favor the Cubs, especially with Skenes going on Wednesday afternoon. It's going to be like a 11:35 first pitch on Wednesday afternoon. So they got to at least win the series. I mean, of course, they're still mathematically alive, but you guys have said it before. Coomer's told you guys they need a 9 or 10 game winning streak, and this would be the time to try to get that done.
Bad loss Sunday. Ian Happ has 2 doubles, including one to lead off the game. They can't bring him home. Nobody else really picked up the slack offensively. He had 3 of their 6 hits.
Right.
Bottom of the lineup, you figure they were going to be pretty good with Pete Crow Armstrong had a very productive weekend in Miami. 14 seconds around the bases the other night. That was something. That was exciting. And PCA was 0 for 4. And then Bethancourt, you think he's the guy who drove in their only run. He's been red hot when he plays. They've been getting great production out of the catching position. You see the Cubs lead the majors in catchers OPS in the month of August? That's crazy. But they can't get key hits when they need them. That was the story yesterday. And they did make the struggling Marlins pitcher, Aller, look like he had more than one victory of the season. Yesterday was his first. And Javi Assad went 7 innings. I was surprised that was his highest, longest outing of the season. Again, this is a pet peeve. 3 runs in 7 innings is work. You can win with that, I guess, if you get an offensive team performance that is acceptable. But the story coming out of that game wasn't that Javier Assad gave them a great outing. And
that counted as a quality start, right?
It did, under those terms.
But oh, by the way,
he gave up 2 home runs
in the first inning.
That's why. Yeah.
And the headline on Cubs.com, I love him, but you know, Assad regroups after first, delivers season high 7 innings. No, that's not the takeaway. The takeaway is the Cubs can't hit when they need to hit. They needed a sweep yesterday. They have to settle for 2 out of 3. They now need to go into Pittsburgh and beat Paul Skeens and the other pitchers that they have, and it's not likely to happen. Ugh.
What was the other part of that question?
That is the voice of John Heyman, 825, a trip around the bases with him. How did you celebrate the White Sox suffering their 100th loss season in franchise history? Any chance this woeful team wins 12 of the next 31 to avoid tying the Mets with 120 losses? With consecutive seasons of 100 losses, how long will this streak last?
I don't think it's conceivable that they can win 12 of the next 31 at all. This is going to be harder to win and to sustain interest and intensity and enthusiasm. This next month is going to feel like a season in itself for the White Sox players and staff. And maybe even fans, if anyone's still paying attention. This is difficult. And they don't have anywhere to go but down. And we said this morning, this is the low point in White Sox history. Because this is the first day that we woke up and they have back-to-back 100 lost seasons. It's never happened before. And it's only going to get worse before it gets better. When will it start to get better? Maybe the offseason. Chris Getz sure sounded optimistic on Saturday morning, and I understand the reason why. Jonathan Cannon started okay yesterday. Texter says, well, boy, that's a low bar. Yeah. Have you seen what the White Sox are working with? Jonathan Cannon's first few innings, his breaking ball was moving. He was doing the things that you want to do and see from a young pitcher. Then he ran out of gas. This is a team where there are a lot of problems. You know, friends and relatives are basically at the game on a beautiful Sunday on the South Side. Attendance was down. The Tigers look like a team that, they don't want to leave Chicago. Why would they? They keep playing the White Sox. So I think that they're staring at more history, more bad history, and this is going to be the next month or so documenting the worst team that we've ever seen in one season in the majors.
Yeah, I think they are going to push that 120 losses up to about 123 when it's all said and done. I didn't celebrate it, believe it or not. I didn't even have the heart. I have a buddy, good Sox fan buddy. We always text, especially during the Cubs-Sox series, and make some kind of wagers. This year he wouldn't even allow me to have the wins that the Cubs did get, so I didn't bother to give him any crud via the texting back and forth. But it's too bad. I mean, nobody's there. That's fine. I mean, it was hot, and I get it. If there was no, will anybody be there tonight in all seriousness? Nobody was there yesterday, and it was a nice day to be outside if you kept yourself hydrated.
And it's a school night. CPS does start today, not next week.
Yeah, CPS starts. So, I mean, I don't see there being anybody there. And guess what? I can't blame you for why would you go out there today to see the Tigers? I understand coming to see the Cubs and the Yankees, but why would you come see the Tigers?
Any chance this team wins 12 of the next 31, I would wager they can't win half of that. I would bet by the time this thing's done, they'll have five. They'll win five games the rest of the way. I do not believe they can win 12. I certainly don't believe they can win six.
So you had them at 126 losses.
That's what it looks like to me right now.
They're definitely capable of doing that.
And I think that if that is the case, I don't see what moves they can make, what trades they can make. They're getting rid of people still. I do not believe there's a chance that they don't lose 100 games next year. I think that they're going for a three-peat of the 100 loss. I think this will be the worst one, but I think they'll lose over 100 games for a third straight season. How are they not going to lose over 100 games for the third straight season? They're going to get rid of Garrett Crochet, most likely Luis Robert. And who's coming up? They're not even bringing up, you know, what a guy we've been waiting on, who's been striking out in AAA, Colson Montgomery. They're not going to bring him up in September. And I don't blame him.
I don't either.
Why connect someone to this thing?
Well, he also hasn't earned it. He's had a very poor offensive season.
That's right.
Numbers are down, and you can't really justify it unless you just want to get a look. And why would you want to expose him to this?
I think I'm being optimistic by saying they can win five games.
That's not
terrific question. Need to get that answer. Don't have it for you today.
The voice of Bruce Levine. Hopefully we'll have answers to the questions at 9 o'clock this morning. Well, here's a guy that might be up with the White Sox next year. Did the White Sox lefty prospect Hagen Smith's dominating pro debut on Saturday in single-A Winston-Salem do enough to salvage the weekend for Sox fans? What'd you think of how Chris Getz didn't commit to a deliberate timetable on Saturday? This is from inside the clubhouse.
It's build up for next season, 2025. What does that look like? You know, we're mapping that out. There are, you know, a lot of different variables that go into that. His off-season training, his health, how he's feeling, see how spring training goes and get him rolling for next year. But he's a guy that's accomplished a lot in the college game. He's got stuff that plays at the major league level right now. And now it's just putting him in a position to have success for a long time for the Chicago White Sox.
That's Chris Getz. What's your reaction to what you heard there and your reaction to what you saw from Hagen Smith?
Well, I would like to know, the White Sox, Hagen Smith joins Noah Schultz as the best 1-2 left-handed pitchers in the minor leagues. I'd just like to know what's the over-under, which guy gets traded first. And how quickly does that happen? Can Smith get up here in time next year to be traded, or do you trade him the year after that? So that would be my question to Chris Getz. Not to be cynical about it, but not holding my breath. I mean, it's great that they drafted a guy, and it's great that he's already in high A ball, high A. And he looked real good, but They got to be careful, right? They have all the innings he pitched this year. They're trying to get him some of those four inning starts, those Crochet starts, and he had a good one to start with. But forgive me for kind of not getting excited about the 2 years down the road. Are they going to lose 100 games for four consecutive years, and then we'll see something happen? It's hard to follow one question with the next.
Well, that's tough. I mean, when you think about three consecutive, now you're speculating potentially a fourth consecutive 100 loss season. That Hagen's, I mean, the highlights, kid's impressive. Like he's gonna be good, but it's something. I get why you would think, okay, how long until they trade him? Because they're just, you know, acquiring early picks. Like he should be the hope. He should be the guy that White Sox fans, like, when he's in the rotation, the Sox are going to be back. They're going to finally challenge for this division again when this guy, Hagen Smith, is in there. But I don't know that what he did over the weekend would be enough, if I were a Sox fan, to get me through with that 100 loss. Cubs have done it many times, too. There's been many times Cubs have lost 100 games. It's hard.
Hagen Smith threw three innings. He gave up no runs, two hits, struck out four, didn't walk anybody. He looked effortless, and he looked dominant. He also has an $8 million signing bonus, which makes it ridiculous to think they're going to trade him. He's going to be on the Paul Skeens track sooner rather than later. I think that's the what you wonder, how quickly he'll get to the majors. And when Chris Getz says his stuff plays at the major league level now, you wonder if they have in the back of their minds a path where he could get to Chicago next year. And that's something when you have nothing else to look at the major league level in terms of hope or optimism, a guy doing what he did, who you've invested that much in already, that's a record signing bonus. Then I'm curious for his next start, wherever it is.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Given his recent surge, relatively speaking, has Luis Robert Jr. regained some of the confidence people around baseball might have lost in him? How important are the final 4 or 5 weeks here of the season for Robert's trade value?
I don't know if anybody's going to make a determination on Luis Robert Jr. based on the next 4 or 5 weeks. He's got to stay healthy. He's got to stay interested, and he's got to stay in the lineup and perform. This has been a nice little blip, but overall, I don't think this has been a good season for anybody in the South Side. And so he's damaged goods right now, and I think he's got a month left to kind of, you know, do what we don't expect him to do, and that is to finish strong, look interested, and be the all-around player that he has been in the past. He's coming off. Last year was a great year for Luis Robert Jr., and it's hard to tell based on what he has produced this season.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting way to measure things. Like, how if he's playing well, I think he's motivated to get out of here because that's how he can get out. But if he's not, if he doesn't want to leave, if he doesn't want to get traded, if he's got some roots here, if he's established and wants to be around, then you know, make yourself unavailable, hit poorly, and you'll probably be stuck here at least until the trade deadline of next season.
Yeah, they're probably going to trade him whenever they get his trade value back up, if they can get it back up. Yeah. Okay. 312-644-6767 is the number. That's three Sox questions that we went over after they lost 100 games, and we didn't even mention the chairman of the board. That's the guy that's in charge of the whole thing. So maybe we should talk about him at some point.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.